The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord. As I was preparing for this homily today, I was asking myself the question, why is it that people would detach themselves from the vine and no longer be able to bear fruit? I think that the answer to that question is that there are just so many other distractions people forget. They forget the beauty of their baptism. They forget the power of that reconciliation that they receive and the forgiveness that they can offer to others. I was down to my place where I go on my day off. I was down there last week, and then I missed my day off this week, so I went last night and came back this morning, because I have to do things like spray plants so the deer won't eat them and things like that. Deer live a lot down where I am. And I was coming up to the front door. I've got a few steps up to the front door, and there's a little rock sitting on the bottom step. And every time I come to my house, I see that rock, and I think, well, I probably should get rid of that rock. But it was that first Easter. Do you remember that first Easter when in the pandemic, when we were only allowed to have 10 people in church? And so we tried to figure out how to do the entire Easter Triduum here in front of the altar with 10 people, which included singers and David, the organist, trying to figure out how to make this work. And I remember right after that first Easter, and it was great to have a place where I could just go, where I knew nobody else ever had been anytime I wasn't there. So I would go down to my house, and one day after Easter I came, and there was this stone on the step, right where it still is, but it had been painted, and it said, "He is risen." I have a few neighbors that I know are Baptists. They think it's kind of exotic to have a priest in the neighborhood. But I figured it was one of those families, but I never knew who to thank for it. And over the years, the paint has gotten more faded and more faded. But whenever I see that rock, I remember he is risen. The beauty of the liturgy, the experience of that joy, of that moment, it's easy for us to forget. Unless we still have that thing there that reminds us, like that rock. And so I decided I'm going to leave it another year. And I'm going to stay on the vine. So Jesus says, "I am the vine. My Father is the grower of the vine. He takes away all the branches in me that do not bear fruit. The ones that do, he prunes." And why would you prune something that is producing? Any gardeners in here? I love gardening. So if you prune something, what happens? Like it might be hard for you to take that first bud off of your flowering plant. But if you clip it off, the energy of the plant from the roots and the stem will bring maybe three or maybe six more flowers in its place. It's the same way if you prune a vine, a grapevine. My dad, he tried desperately to grow grapes in Kansas, but there's a reason why you don't ever hear of wine from Kansas. Just saying, it was the worst stuff you've ever had. It was pretty strong. You'd have a little tiny glass of it, and my mom, she'd never get dinner on the table. But if you prune your grapevines, you'll realize that just the right number of stems are going to produce full groups, full bunches of grapes. If you don't prune it, you get all these clusters of what look like berries because the plant can't support all that. If you really want to have good grapes, you have to prune the vines. It's the same with any kind of plant. Each kind of plant has its own DNA, I guess, that determines the geometry and the beauty of how that multiplication takes place, but the multiplication always does. I was down, like I said, last night, and I saw there was this weed that I ran out of time, so I was going around pulling the tops off these weeds so that I could get the seeds, right? And by golly, right there by my door, there was one of those weeds that I had pulled the top off of, and there were six new tops growing up from them. So it goes both ways, right? Jesus says, you are already pruned by my words that you have received. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. He says, remain in me, stay on the vine, because you must bear fruit. Remain in me, because alone you can't do anything. And if you do, whatever you ask for, I will do for you. Well, that was the gospel according to St. John. And not surprisingly, the second reading according to St. John is his letter. The first epistle of John is probably addressed to the Ephesians, the church of Ephesus. It's not like really addressed to them, but it is believed to have been written to believers in groups of churches where false prophets had denied Jesus' incarnation, which caused a secession that depleted the Orthodox remnant. So it's hard to believe that there would be considered Orthodox and non-Orthodox already at the time of St. Paul. But the faithful people were at risk because there were people coming in denying Jesus' incarnation. In other words, there's not really a vine, so you don't really need to worry about anything. So the second reading, John basically says what we hear in the gospel. But he begins by saying, let us love, not in word and speech, but in deed and truth. So Jesus says the word that has already pruned you is the word that you have received. And the way we'll know that it was received is by how you act, by deed and truth. And then he says, how do we know we belong to the truth? And then in the next sentence, instead of truth, he uses God. How do we know we belong to the truth? Because we keep God's commandments. And his commandments are very, very simple. To believe in the name of his son and love one another as his son commanded us. So it's basically the same structure as the gospel. Remain in him and he in them in the spirit that he gave us. So then I wanted to come just to the hymn today, because I looked this afternoon and I thought, wow, this hymn, this entrance song is my favorite. It seems to be an extension of the second reading today, the letter of St. John to the Ephesians. Draw us in the Spirit's tether, it says. For when we gather together, you are in our midst. As disciples used to gather in the name of Christ to sup, then, with thanks to God the Father, break the bread and bless the cup. So now bind our friendship up. And then the part that I like the most. All our meals and all our living make as sacraments of you. A sacrament, not with a capital S, but a sacrament is an outward sign of Christ. So make our meals and all our living outward signs of Christ. that by caring for each other, helping and giving, we may be disciples true in the truth of God. We will serve with faith anew. Become my disciples, he says. It's a very kind of simple gospel, and I think it's so familiar that we might just not even think about what he says. But there is a very logical thing that happens here. Everything comes from the Father. He gathers us in, makes us a part of his Son. He prunes us in such ways that we grow and make and multiply and are fruitful. And then we just simply remain in him. And whatever we ask for, he will do.